Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Players, at the end of 16 games, there will only be one Redskin remaining. He will be crowned the Redskins survivor. So we'll get to that a little bit later in the hour. We'll make our picks for who goes off the island, who gets immunity. But we need your votes. This is how this works. So go to Facebook.com/Grant and Danny. Like the page so it's easier to get to next time and give us your Redskins survivor vote. We'll get to your calls in a second. I want to know what change you'd make for the Skins going into the second half of the season. You could always tweet us at Grant H. Paulson at Funny Danny. Steve wants to know, since the Junkies are on Comcast TV, he says, why can't they leave the cameras running for you guys? Well, the answer is that nobody would want that.
No, frankly, one wants that, really.
I don't think we want that. I mean, the Junkies, I don't think they do any extra, like, keep up or wear anything different than they normally would to be on TV, but it seems like it's just more to deal with.
It is a little bit more. The lights are brighter. You and I are kind of cave creatures. We like it dark and cold.
We like it dark and cold.
Yeah, and EB, as you know, is 88% reptile, mm-hmm. and when it's summer outside, he wears long sleeve wool, kind of heavy gear and garments.
If he could live like any animal, it'd be in an iguana. He would want to, like, lay in hot sand and or on a heat rock in an aquarium.
The word's like sun lamp for Eric Bickle, who I love so much, but he's just incorrectly temperature. I don't know what happened to him somewhere along the line, but he's a cold-blooded animal that occupies human space. Anyway, I'd like that. I wouldn't mind it. I like attention, so that would kind of work a little bit.
I mean,
but I'd have to look nicer than I normally do.
If someone said to me right now, would you rather have your radio show televised or not, for obvious reasons, I'd say yes, it's good for everybody, and it'd probably help get up more eyeballs and more ears on the show, which is a success, and that helps us. I do feel like, though, the Junkies, well, maybe they don't care at all. I feel like they have to put in more work to, like, get ready in the morning knowing they're going on TV. That's a question maybe I should ask them. I don't know. But appreciate the tweet, and you can keep them coming. We'll get to your calls on these Skins in a second. Real quick on the Vikings. I saw this story a minute ago on my Twitter feed. Teddy Bridgewater is being activated this week. What's going to happen, though, Danny, in Week 10, is that Bridgewater, what a recovery, good for the guy. Since coming out of Louisville, has kind of been a rising player in the National Football League and then had a horrific injury, worse than the Deshaun Watson injury in terms of how bad it was and threatening his career during a practice. So he's been recovering ever since then. His rehabilitation is almost over, and now he's going to be activated for the first time this week. It sounds like he'll be the backup to Case Keenum this week. Case Keenum is still going to start. Keenum doesn't really make many plays, kind of operates within the confines of the offense. You know, whatever Kirk Cousins is, Case Keenum is the poorest man's version of
him.
Just
a watered-down version of it.
7 touchdowns, 3 picks, but he does have an 88 rating. He has not beaten Minnesota this year.
Get the ball to Stephon Diggs. Get the ball to Thielen. Get the ball to Rudolph. Get the ball to whichever back is in the game, McKinnon or Latavius Murray, and get the hell out of the way.
But I looked up the Vikings' offensive numbers expecting that they're just terrible on offense. They're not. It's weird. Considering they lost their best offensive weapon, Dalvin Cook, their rookie running back, they rank pretty high in a lot of categories. They're 15th overall in offense. They're 18th running the ball, middle of the pack. They're 11th in terms of yards per play. There's only 10 better passing offenses in the league. Only 3 quarterbacks have a better interception rate than Bradford and Keenum do, combined, 4th for the Vikings this year. They're the 2nd hardest team in the league to sack.
Yeah.
Only one team gives up fewer sacks than Minnesota.
Because they know what they're about. They're handing the ball off and getting rid of it.
100%. Everything is quick, and it's hot, and it's short, and it's safe. But if they're able to stay balanced with the running game, that's kind of what the Redskins want to be. They're executing it as an offense better than Washington is. Top 12 in terms of first downs per game. What does that mean? Well, you keep the chains moving. You get 4 or 5 at a time. You have long drives, 13, 14 plays. They're 7th in time of possession. They're 13th in scoring. They're top 10 when they get goal to go and converting because they can run the ball effectively. They are 6th on third downs. And that's their offense, which is the weakness of this team. Defensively, if you want to get into those numbers, they're the 2nd best defense in the NFL. They are 3rd against the run. They are 3rd against the pass. They are middle of the pack at picking quarterbacks off 15th. They're the 8th best team at getting to the quarterback for sacks. They're the 8th best team at not allowing first downs. They're number 1 in the league in goal-to-go defense, number 3 in red zone defense, number 3 in scoring defense, number 6 in yard differential. number 6 in point differential. Statistically, this team's great, and I don't know if it's because they've played a weak schedule or because they're actually really good.
So I think it's a combination. I think they're good, but they're probably not this good, if that makes sense.
6-2 record
so
far.
So record-wise, they're about probably where they should be. They've played, I would say, 4 teams in their 8 games that are either dreadful on one side of the football or both. Early on when they beat New Orleans, that's not the same New Orleans team that showed up after 0-2. They made a sea change, basically, in how they were playing defense. And since then, New Orleans has taken off defensively. That's a different unit. But they beat Green Bay in a game where Aaron Rodgers got hurt, only gave up 10 points. They beat Cleveland. They beat Baltimore, whose offense makes, you know, the addition look like nuclear fusion with chopsticks. They have no idea. They're terrible on offense. Tampa Bay stinks on both sides of the football. So some of their offensive numbers are a bit askewed, I would say, taking advantage of a terrible Cleveland Browns defense, taking advantage of a terrible Bucs defense, advantage of a terrible Saints defense, and Chicago's offense also is reprehensibly bad.
The Saints defense is really good.
Now they're good.
You're saying, okay, I see what you're saying. So in week one, and that was the Bradford is the best quarterback in the league game that everyone overreacted to when he threw for 350. That was the first game of the season. Yeah, okay, so maybe it has come easily.
Basically, since week two, the Saints defense has been excellent, with the exception of Detroit, that crazy shootout, but they've been amazing since basically the Carolina Panthers game in week 3.
Vikings got throttled by the Steelers for their first loss, and they lost a 14-7 game where they couldn't do anything to the Lions, and that was way back on the 1st of October. So since then, they've won 4 in a row. By the way, second straight week, the Redskins have played a team coming in on a 4-game winning streak.
When you play teams, the old Mike Shanahan axiom.
Yeah, when you play, that matters so much
more. And they're also coming off a bye week, thanks.
And who you play. And they had 2 weeks to prepare. So not easy by any means. Certainly going to be an ominous matchup. What changes should be made to give the Redskins a chance? Let's get into this. 8 games down, 8 games to go. You get to make one change. What is it? We'll get to the phone calls in a second. Why don't you give us one?
Made up a word. It's a combination of 2 words, but I'm desperate for 2 things, and I want them both at the same time. The word is sprempo. Sprempo. It's a combination of spread and tempo. Go fast and spread people out. Stop bringing people together. Spread people apart. You cannot run the ball when you try to line up and beat people. Your offensive line isn't good enough, and your tight ends aren't good enough in the blocking game, and frankly, your running backs ain't good enough either. Spread people out. Even if it used tight ends as part of your spread, even if you line up Jordan Reed as a slot receiver or even an outside receiver, whatever you do, spread people out and hurry the hell up. They're so good, I think, when A, they're spreading people out, B, they got a little tempo, get a little rhythm on offense. Little rhyme. Get a couple quick passes going. Get a quick out to Vernon Davis for 4 or 5 yards. Get a quick little hitch to Jamison Crowder. Quick little action. Then you could start to run the ball when teams are a bit gassed. When you line up and say, okay, man, let's go first down. You've had a bunch of time to think about it. Your first down runs make my eyes bleed. I hate them so much. Even though Chris Russell loves them and he's happy with 0 yards.
I don't know if this is still the case. Out. Going into 2 games ago against Dallas, the Redskins had the most first down runs, highest percentage in the NFL.
And they're all bad.
They're all terrible. And you can't run on first down. That is inexplicable to me. It's inexcusable. I don't understand it. I need someone to make sense for me why that would ever be the case. You know, I love spread and I love tempo. Here is the concern with that. And it's why the teams that operate with such tempo, the Eagles a couple of years ago under Chip Kelly, even the Patriots over the years, the Saints, the Packers, why have they always had bad defenses? Well, because occasionally, if you score quickly and or you go 3 and out,
sure,
your defense gets fatigued. It's basically a one-way ticket to never playing like they just played this past week, where it's a little bit more ball-controlled. You're taking your time. You're milking the clock. You're taking the air out of the football. You're snapping the ball with 3 seconds left on the clock. So that even if your drive is only for 1 first down and 19 yards, it's taken a few minutes of real time so that the defense can rest.
My counter is they had I think it was 8 of their 11 drives were under 2 minutes in this past game anyway, even trying to take their time because they were ineffective on offense and Seattle was good on defense. But your point still stands. I would say you don't do it every time. I would also say
mix it in though. 100%.
There's nothing that gets a defense on their heels more. You can see it when the announcers go, here we go, and the fans are going. They're not doing the normal substitution thing where the quarterback's lingering around and a couple different personnel packages are in. It forces action. You get to dictate. As opposed to right now where you've got so few options on offense and things you can call because of all the injuries, they're dictating to you. You can take the upper hand again. You can have the upper hand in the relationship one more time by saying you don't get to substitute. Even if you just get to the line and Kirk could just meander around there, deal a hand of cards, and talk to Rob Kelly about his day and see what they want to do after the game. Even if you don't hurry up and run the play, you hurry up and get to the line. That's what I want. I want tempo to force action from the other team.
I've got three changes that I would make. I'm going to give you all three next, and then we will get to each of your calls. So you're up in a moment at 800-636-1067. There are a few lines open if you want them. Halfway through the season, what change would you make if you got to play Jay Gruden?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.